Wonderful. I see it's just holiday time. People are sleeping late. Glad to see you guys could join us. It's really an honor for me to welcome Pastor Charles. And I'm first going to ask Bishop Ngulu to just come and share a testimony. And then Pastor Charles, after he's done, then you can just take over. It's fine. But please, let's put our hands together for them. Thank you for being here, gentlemen. Please stand. Thank you very much. It's really an honor. Hallelujah.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here today with you. Hopefully you will follow me. Although my accent is a different, slightly different with you, but hopefully you will catch me. It's a blessing to be here today in South Africa. I just came from Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, and it has been a blessing week for me. And thank you so much for extending the invitation to me. I'm married to Devota, and we are blessed with three boys and a daughter. And the first one is 24, now is taking a study at Dar es Salaam University and is taking public relations. And the second one is at A level and is looking forward to be a pilot. And the third one also it's in O level, and the last one also is in O level. So God has blessed us with a good family. I received Jesus Christ in 1978 when I was in school, and it was a turning point for my life. And I was really blessed by a teacher who came from Britain. He used to teach at our school, and he was organizing fellowship. So at that day in 1978, I received Jesus Christ to be my personal savior. Since that, I went to college. I took a civil engineering. So I didn't go to work. I just decided to go to the ministry. But it was a really challenge to my life, especially my family didn't want me to go to ministry because they have paid a lot. So now I'm going to the ministry. It was really hard somehow. But good enough, my father was positively to me, so he was encouraging to do that. So since 1984, I've been going around Tanzania doing ministry and the neighboring countries, working together as a full-time evangelist. But it came in 1993. Which God really was speaking to me to start a church. So it was in 1995 where I started Christian Mission Fellowship in Tanzania, a single congregation, and it was not easy, it was tough, but we started with my wife. Up to now, we have about 150 churches all over Tanzania. God has been blessing us. But not we are not Superman, just by grace of God. Yeah, we thank God for that. And not only that, we have been penetrating in neighboring countries. We have churches in Mozambique, about 7 churches in Mozambique. And in Zambia, we have more than 30 churches right now. And Burundi, 7 churches. Rwanda, about 10 churches. And Uganda, more than 50 churches. Kenya, we have more than 10 churches. This December, we will be going to South Sudan. We want to plant a church in South Sudan. So we are mission-minded church. We are not rich, but we are sacrificing everything we have for the ministry. So it's a blessing to see that people come to God's kingdom. Would you mind to give my slide? My slide. Okay, I'll go quickly, but Pastor Charles is going to wind up, but don't worry. Yeah. You know, sometimes African, we like talking, eh? Okay, you're good. You can see the highlight of Tanzania, but right now we are about 42 million people, for 45% Christian and Muslim, 30% as you see there. And the common language is Swahili. We have about 120 ethnic groups in Tanzania. But all of us, we are connected with the language we call Swahili. English is just a business language. It's not a national language. Our national language is Swahili. Everybody speaks Swahili. And here I realize that you have about 11. You are really blessed. But for but for us, we have just Swahili. Okay, come on. Next. Okay, as you see, the living in the rural area is 77%, and under 15 is 44%, under 35 is 77%, and committed Christian 11%. Average church size is 192. This is the research I did in 2000. I did research for entire nation, and I compiled this, the first book I compiled in our nation, and it's really used for church planting. Okay? We have the, while I was doing this research, we have 21,039 churches. And we hoped to, in 2010, to plant 55,422 churches, but we didn't reach that goal. We didn't reach. So we are still doing to do that. As I said, the main language spoken is Swahili. Next. Okay. As you see, Christianity in my country, the first Catholic evangelization was by the Portuguese Augustine missionaries who arrived with Vasco da Gama in 1499 in Zanzibar. As you see that during that time we called Tanganyika. Tanganyika was the door, I can say, for the slave trade. As you see in Zanzibar, we are really very affected. It was a slave market in Zanzibar. So most of Tanganyika people, even from DRC, Zambia, and some East African country, we are highly affected by Arab slave trade. It was not easy to forgive, but we are forced to forgive. But we are okay right now with Arabs. We don't have any grudges, and we are working closely with them. So that's just a historical in Tanzania how the Christianity came. Okay, next. We have a church strength and a weakness strength in Tanzania. But we are trying as we can. The problem, people are, organization and a Christian are divided. I don't know about here. We are really divided. Everyone is pulling on its side. So we are trying as they can, as a pastor, as a bishop, to come together. But it's not an easy issue. But we are working very hard to come together. Because without coming together, we cannot accomplish more. I was looking at your rugby team. They work closely together. Yeah? When they say press, I don't know rugby, but I just see they are pressing, man. Fantastic. So we need to work together like a rugby team. It doesn't matter about our race, our color, but we need to come together and work together as a Christian body. We can achieve more on that. So we have different strategies. We use open air, crusade, personal evangelism, tract distribution, Jesus film, and so on. Next. Also, our church is doing access ministry to reach the children. As you see that, we use, we say Operation Christmas Shoe Boxes. In Christmas time, children from Europe and other countries, they collect gifts for, they are given a box. Each family is given a box and they fill gifts on it. maybe pen, clothes, soap, and so on. They fill. So every year, we are about 10 churches, organization, I can say, organization, working together to bless the children of Tanzania. Each year, we can receive about 50,000 shoe boxes. So this is it's like an access ministry to the children. Let me tell you one thing. If you are not going to reach our generation, someone else is going to reach, whether you like or not. The Muslim right now, they are very clever. They are coming to us through business. They have money. They are investing right now. And not only that, through marriage, the youth, they are motivated to marry Christian. Right now, it's happening in Tanzania. As I said, we have about 35% are Muslims. And we are 40, but they are working very hard. Through they build dispensary, hospital, schools right now. So many Christians are attracted. So if you are not going to stand in the gap, someone gonna stand. So, you know, this generation is changing quickly. And as you know, today in Tanzania we have a peace, but we don't know 10 years to come. So this is our opportunity, your opportunity, to work very hard to bring the children together, children ministry, to reach the children, to reach the adults. I know it's not easy, it's costly, but we need to work hard. We don't have a choice. Let me tell you, I was driving in a jungle from Dar es Salaam to mainland. It was about 600 kilometers in the jungle. When I was driving, it reached a time I was very tired. So I need something to drink and I didn't carry anything. So when I was looking around, I saw just a hut somewhere. When I went there, I asked a lady. Lady was selling something. I asked a lady, can I get anything to drink? She said, yes. I said, what can I get? She said, Coca-Cola. You can get it in the jungle. Coca-Cola. Can you imagine? It's less than 70 years since the Coca-Cola company started producing Coca-Cola. But now it is spread all over. Everywhere, in the jungles, everywhere you go, you get Coca-Cola. It's a shame to the Christian. It's more than 2,000 years. But still, some people, some tribes, never heard even the name of Jesus Christ. And we are relaxing. We are enjoying every Sunday. We are singing and clapping hands. But somewhere, people are dying without even hearing the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, when I was doing this research, I'm not preaching, I'm just giving a testimony. When I was doing this research, I went. One of my guys went to Mtwara region, south of Tanzania. So he met the certain old people. He was testifying about how Jesus is good. So one of the old men said, it looks Jesus is very good. He says, yes. So the old man asked that gentleman, said, why don't you bring that man here in this village? We want him to be a chairman of this village. Can you imagine? They don't know. They thought Jesus is a physical person and he can come to their village and they can make him a chairman of the village. They never heard about Jesus Christ. This is a seriousness. The task which is ahead of us, we need to do it, whether we like or not. If we are not going to do it, we are going to lose this generation on the hands of devil. Next. Okay. As also our church is involved with the wheelchair distribution, we use also this like an access ministry to reach the communities and to help people who are disabled. Right now, we have distributed about 3,000 wheelchairs to the entire nation. And this gives me an access to parliament members, even to the government of Zanzibar. I really involved to the government of Zanzibar, and they know because of this wheelchair. So it's one of the access to reach the Muslim community. And it was not easy to penetrate in Zanzibar. When I started this ministry, they started calling me, "Would you mind to come to Zanzibar and help us? We have disabled people." So it makes me get away. And right now in Zanzibar, we have, I think, we have more than 5 churches in Zanzibar. But it was 7, but 2 of our churches was pulled down with Muslims. They pulled down 2 of our churches. But we are doing very well in Zanzibar, and we are carrying forward. They have sometimes they have a hidden agenda, but we love them. We cannot reach them without love. So we mix with them, and we work together closely. And some of them, they are coming to the Lord. Next. As you see there, I was one of the parliament members. We are this former president of United Republic of Tanzania. We went in a certain village. We were opening a clinic, and also we are distributing a wheelchair. He's a Muslim. He was a Muslim. So it's not easy to reach him. But through this ministry, I was able to reach him, to talk with him, and some of the parliament members, some of the guards. So it makes me an access to reach them. Next. Okay. It's at our church. Next. One of the parliament. So like now we are putting wheelchairs to take to the rural areas. Next. As you see, many disabled people in Tanzania. Next. Yeah, as you see that they need help. You know, they cannot buy it. It's expensive for them. It can cost around $200. For them, it's highly expensive. Okay. Next. You see, we are with the former president of United Republic of Tanzania, and that is a wife. So that's how we do. Next. Also, we do borehole. We are not just going with the naked gospel. You know, sometimes we are going, we say naked gospel. You just tell somebody, receive Jesus Christ, he loves you, and they are suffering. And you don't lift up your eyes and see the needs of the community. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. But you are not really taking care of their needs. We need to take care of their needs. That makes us easier even to talk to the community and so on. So like here, we are doing a borehole. A Maasai lady can walk for 8 hours with a bucket on the top, looking, fetching for water. But here, we have plenty of water. Okay? You don't struggle. Every time, just water available. But in the rural village, you cannot get water sometimes. This is Maasai. We have adopted 2 tribes. We have 32 ethnic groups, tribes in Tanzania, which are less evangelized. But 2 of them we have adopted as a church. This is a Maasai, and we adopted also Wasi tribe, a Muslim community. So we reach them through boreholes like that. You know, to do a borehole, single borehole, can cost about $8,000. But we are trying as we can to reach the community. Right now in Maasai land, we have about 20 churches. Maasai are lovely. But the problem, they marry up to 4 wives. And they live together. Up to now, some of them, I said, they still drink fresh blood. And they eat raw meat. But they are lovely. When you meet them, they are lovely. You are lovely. I would like to take you when you come to Tanzania, to the rural village. Yeah! To evangelize. They are lovely people. They respond to the gospel. Right now we have about not less than 20 churches. They are coming to the Lord. They receive Jesus Christ to the person. We mix with them, and they are good people. So that's what we do it. Next, as you see that one of the well is done. Next, as I said, we have also, we are reaching children with the shoe boxes. As you see it, they are lovely children. We are going all over Tanzania. Okay. Next. Okay. Also, we do missions. Like in Zanzibar, we like Zanzibar because all the coast regions from, you don't know the map of Tanzania, but from the north to south, the coast areas is a Muslim dominant. So we are trying as we can to reach them even through medical. Sometimes I organize medical team to go to Zanzibar and do treatment, and we treat freely, we give medication and so on. So it's a really a very good tool reaching the community, Muslim community. And some of them, we get an opportunity while they are coming, we get an opportunity to talk with them about the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's how we do. Next. Finished. So the Muslims, they have agenda. We need to have also agenda. And they have a plan during the Gaddafi. Gaddafi has a plan to Islamize the African continent. And he was doing as he can. He was giving aid to government leaders in Malawi, in Uganda. He came even to Tanzania. So he was doing as we can. If we are going, we are not going to do anything, they are going to really take over. As I'm saying, they are not joking, they are serious. Let me give you just a clip to show that what they are planning to do it. Would you mind to give me a clip, the second clip? You can just see what is their plan.
They've been very clear about it. They're the same as Hitler's goals, you know. Kill all the Jews, crush the democracies, destroy Western civilization.
They wish to strike down the West.
They want to defeat the West. They want to defeat Christianity. They want to defeat Judaism. They want to spread Islam in their own way.
It's very clear. We've heard it so many times from many Muslim leaders that they want to Islamize the world.
Ayam inqilab, ayam jahanist, dar jughrafiya va zaman mahdud nemi shavad. Tardid nakonid ke inshallah Islam همه کجا رو فتح خواهد کرد؟ همه قله های جهان رو فتح خواهد کرد.
قد حكمنا الدنيا وسيأتي يوم والله نحكم فيه كل الدنيا. سيأتي يوم نحكم فيه أمريكا. سيأتي يوم نحكم فيه بريطانيا ونحكم فيه كل العالم.
Radical Islamic groups want to see the world unified under Islam.
It's only a matter of time until we rule Earth, until we control Earth.
One day, this very flag will fly over the parliament in London. We will see this flag that will fly over the White House. And we will see the Black House, the Kaaba, will take over the whole world.
Islam to the world.
You will take over USA. You will take over UK. You will take over Europe. You will defeat them all. You will get victory. You will take over Egypt. We trust in Allah.
Indeed, there is he who sent his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the deen of Haq, with Islam, to dominate all of our other religions, to dominate the United States, to dominate the world, even though the non-Muslims may hate it.
At the end of the day, Islam must control Earth, whether we like it or not. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a promise from Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You see it? It's a serious case. If you are going to sleep, they are going to take over the world. We need to know to do something. That's why I want just to encourage you. You may not be able to go, but you can support a mission. You can pray. You can support somebody who is interested to go in mission. We need to evangelize our country. No one can evangelize for us. We are responsible for our countries. And I believe the last revival gonna come from the continent of Africa. Africa must be ready, must be prepared. We are lucky enough, we can go anywhere. But Americans, they are worried to go in Iran and some of the countries. But for us as African, we have an access to go any country as an engineer, as a nurses, or mechanical engineer, civil engineer. We can go anywhere. We are blessed. So prepare for the final revival. You remember when Jesus Christ was born, he didn't run to Russia, to Europe. He came to North Africa, which was Egypt, and Jesus was preserved there. So it's still in the mind of him. He loves Africa. Not only that, during the famine, when Joseph was in Egypt, we managed to feed the whole world. So not only that, you remember when Jesus was going on to the cross, there is somebody who helped Jesus to carry the cross. A man from Ethiopia, Simon, he helped Jesus to carry the cross. Africa is a unique. We need to be prepared as a church, as a body of Christ, to be ready for the last revival. Our King is coming soon. Don't relax. Every day we like to be in the comfort zone where we are born, where we are raised. We like it. It's good. Even myself, I like to be home. But I'm forced to do evangelism. It's not an option. That's the work of everybody needs to do. May God bless you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Can you just greet someone next to you and say, peace be with you? Just tell him, peace be with you. God loves you so much. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I like David. David said that I was glad when they said to me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Let us stand in a temple of the Lord. You know, there should be joy welcoming in God's presence. I like the song that we sing right now. It says that what was our first condition? They say that we were lost. We were far away from God. But because of what Jesus done on the cross, we are free. The Bible said that if the Son set you free, you are indeed free. Look at your neighbor and say, you are free. Yeah, I'm very excited to be with you this morning. I'm married to one lovely and beautiful woman. So, you know, as African, we have a backgrounds. We used to be married to two wives, five, six, you know. So just to be married to one woman is a very good news. One woman, just one. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8. Can you just read together? I'm not going to be too long because we don't have more time. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. This is what it said.
Also hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord, send me. Whom shall I send? Says the Lord God. At any time and in any generation, God is always looking for a man. A person that will be available to stand and say, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, because of what God has done for you and me, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, in order to save us, to set us free. So in response of what God has done for you and me, we need to be ready. God asks, whom shall I send? Who can stand and go out there? Because if there is no one available, if there is no person, nobody can say, here am I, Lord, I'm ready, no one will be saved out there. No one. And those guys, as you see on the screen, they will take over. There should be someone. There should be a person who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. Evangelism is an order. Really. Matthew 28 said that, go and make disciples. This is an order from the master. It's not only for just a few people, you know. And then you say, I'm not concerned. Is your business? No. Is our business. Since you are a Christian, or since you say that you are a Christian. To be Christian right now, it means to be on mission. God just looking for one. Just one man that who can obey God's order, God's command. This is a command that God gave to all the believers. It's not just a matter for a pastor, you know. This is pastor stuff. This is for the pastor. Preach the gospel, the pastor. For all the believers, I will say that as Christian, we are the best way to advance God's kingdom. We are the best way to advance God's kingdom. We need to stand up. Don't just sit and have fun yeah, you know, every Sunday we are there. There should be a reason why you are saved. There is a reason. There should be a reason. There is a purpose why you are saved. Jesus will say that man's life doesn't depend on what he possesses or you have. I have dogs, I have cars, I have money. Of course, we need it. There is a reason why. A purpose. Life has a meaning if you can discover or understand why am I here? Hello? 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 Are you with me? Raise the Lord. You must understand why you are here. Why? Why? Can you read Psalm 117 and... Yeah, I don't know if my accent is right, but you know I'm French speaking. Psalm 117. Oh, wait. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Psalm 118 verse 17. All right, are you there? 118 verse 17. This is what it says. I shall not die, but live. And I shall declare the words of the Lord. I shall not die, but live. And I shall declare the works of the Lord. So, there is a reason why you live. You should die. Yesterday, even this morning. Sorry for that guy. But this is God's words. There is a meaning, a reason why God kept you alive. The reason is that you may proclaim the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. I like that blind man. He said that what I know is that I was blind, but now I can see. I can see. I can see. Hallelujah. I can see. I can see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Alive. Alive, Pastor. We must proclaim what God has done in your life. There should be a testimony. Don't keep quiet what God has done in your life. God do it for a purpose. Unless people hear that Jesus healed, Jesus raised the dead, then they will believe. They will say there is a God. We are serving a living God. A living God is still at work. Can still giving you healing even though you are sick. Because he is alive. Whom shall I send? When Jesus sent us, the Bible said that he did provide for us a supernatural power that helps us to do God's work. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, do not move from Jerusalem. Wait until you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. Not just to sit and have fun. No. It's for you to go and to do God's work. This is why God gave you Holy Spirit. Because you can't by your wisdom, by your spirit, by your power, to change someone's life. It's impossible. It's impossible. You'll never make it. Only by God's Spirit, then everything is possible. Look at your neighbor, say, possible, possible. Hallelujah. Whom shall I send? Whom, says the Lord God. Just looking, amen. I still have time, Pastor. Just check with me. I came here to Cape Town and I stayed like 4 or 5 years. And I done Bible school at UCT. And after that, I was just convinced that I have to go home to share with my people what I have learned. I receive, I go home to share. You know, it doesn't make sense that you receive and then you sit. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. When you receive, you must share. Am I right? Freely you receive, freely share. That's all. Imagine that if at least if each one of us can just bring one person every Sunday, how many will be here? Can you imagine? Just every Sunday we say, I must bring someone. I must invite someone. The church. Every Sunday. How many here? The problem is
we don't obey.
That's all. That's the problem we have, we are facing. We don't obey. We know a lot about God's word. We know. This man teach you a lot. You know, to prepare a message like this is a trouble. You have to pray more prayers. You need to meditate. You need God revelation. It takes time, and you have family. But we just receive. We are happy. And that's all. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but for me, I think that it doesn't make sense at all. You don't worry. After service, you are the first to go out. But you're always coming late. You come late, you want to be the first to go. Jesus. Jesus. One man. Just one man. God is looking for one man. Just one. When Jesus was dead or raised from the dead, the Bible said that the chief priests gave money to the soldiers. Say, don't say that he is alive. Do not. Keep quiet. Take this. This is what happened. You know the story. Jesus is alive. The risen King, the Son of Man. But those people gave money. Said, don't say that he is alive. Do not proclaim that he is alive. The chief priest gave money to people. Keep quiet, keep quiet. Keep quiet, keep quiet. But since you are saved, if you can't go, it's a time that you must give what you have in order to proclaim God's work. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Amen. We need to give. We must give. Maybe for some reason. You can't go out there. But give. Give money. Give what you have. So that we can proclaim that he is alive. Faith in him. You'll be saved. So what happened in the church when they say, let us give? You do like this. You check. You are saved, but not your wallet. You keep it. Just keep. There. Sean, it's a time of offering. Take it to open. Check. Take the small one. What are you doing? You are just killing God's mission. God is looking for one man. The one that can stand up and say,
Here, my Lord, send me to end up. Can you read together Malachi chapter 1, verse 6? Because today is Sunday, there is communion, so let's read Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Yeah. Malachi, you found it after the book of Genesis. The place you can find Malachi. After Genesis, you found Malachi. You found. Yeah, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? Yeah, this and that. Can you read at home? A son, a good one, respects his parents, his father and mother. A good son. Hello? Hello? Are you with me? A good boy, a good son, respect. When his parent give order or command, he must obey. He don't say, I don't care. Not worry. No. A good son, says the Bible, give honor to his father. Yes, daddy. A good son, obey. Give honor to his parents. Is not so impolite, you know. He must respect. So now God asks, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? God is asking you. Can you just close our eyes? God is asking you, whom shall I send? A good son, obey, give order, give honor to his father. Now your father asks, whom shall I send? Can you able to say, here my Lord, just sent me. Let us pray. We pray. We pray. We pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Commit yourself and say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me.
Father, that just as Pastor Charles said, Lord God,
Jeremiah, send me. We want to answer that question, Lord God, when you ask us, whom shall I send? Is there a person who will stand up and say, oh, that's my heart? Father, that's our heart, Lord God. Lord, we want to honor you as our Father. And do, Lord God, what's on your heart. And not make you our servant, Lord. Looking how you can serve us. Bless us. Let us have a happy, comfortable, comfort zone life. Where we want to go. We want to share, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, for your word. Can the ushers just hand out the symbols, the bread and the wine? And as they are distributing it, I just want to say that God is really amazing, and just on the weekend, and what God has shared, and this what Pastor Charles has shared as well. You know, it's always a challenge for us to come back to the simplistic basic things, because we want to get the deeper revelation. We want to get a better understanding or whatever we want to do. But God just came and said two things, my children. The fear of the Lord, we must learn it. And then we must focus on the cross of Jesus. And that's it. A lot of words said, but that's basically it. God is coming to challenge me also again. And I just want to read a scripture before we do have communion this morning. I can actually quote it, but I want to read it. You can quote it as well. Pastor Charles has said that we must give. We must not sit and receive all the time. Has everybody got the symbols distributed to them? The symbol that you have in your hand is what it's all about. This whole deal of ours. God giving so that we can have everything. But with that comes the responsibility of honoring our Father and doing what His will is. What is His will? See everybody say it. John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is good news. That is good news that we have received. When last did you share it with somebody? And now I'm going to freak somebody else, but I'm going to freak you out a little bit this morning. Take your little piece of bread, and then you give it to the person next to you, and he gives his to you. You share it. A symbolic act. Just go and share mine with Linda. As easy as that. When last have you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody? That's it. Father, we honor you, Lord, for Jesus. We honor you, Lord God, for making a way for us to have life and it eternally, Lord. Father, we repent, Lord God, of our selfishness, Lord God, not to share the good news in Jesus. And Father, as we eat this bread, Lord God, Lord Jesus, we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for us. And we remember, Lord God, that this is to be shared as we partake in communion this morning. Let's eat together. Lord Jesus, as we just hold this little bit of juice in our hand, Lord, Lord, I can't help but think that we sometimes cringe, Lord God, when you ask us to give time or money or any of those things that really costs us. But Lord, for us to have life, Lord God, you gave your blood. And the only way, Lord God, that your blood could be shed was if you were bruised and broken for us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it, for despising the shame, and fixing your eyes on the joy that was set before you, the joy that we can have life and life in abundance because of your sacrifice. Lord, we honor you, and thank you, Lord, for doing it for us. Lord, help us to share what you have done for us, with the people around us. Let's drink together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are always, Lord God, going to and fro with your eyes, just looking for somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to stand up, Lord. But Lord, it always needs to happen, Lord God, from that place where we are truly and madly just in love with you. Where you are number one, Lord God, in our lives. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If there's anybody here this morning who needs prayer, that God has touched you this morning, there's